And Robbie was making mention there that faith really and obedience, but when it comes right down to it, it's belief. What did they believe? Did they actually believe it? Did it mean anything to them? Let us look to the Lord for just a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee above all for the wonderful gift of eternal salvation that has been offered full and free to each of us. It's to whomsoever will. As we go into Thy Word, we just trust that Thou wouldst open our spiritual minds and hearts that we might observe and learn wonderful truths from this Thy Word. We know that as we read the Word of God, it is Your message to us. And we speak to Thee through prayer. And for those that would learn about God and who God is, we must needs get into the Word of God. We find that Thomas was asking, show us the Father. And the Lord could put to him, Thomas says, as long as I've been with you and you don't recognize that I and the Father are one, when you see me, you see the Father. So we see the attributes of the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ's life. We just trust that we would be alert to the truths that the Spirit of God speaks to us, not so much the speaker as the Spirit of God Himself. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now there's a great deal that has to be covered, but we'll just go at it piece by piece. Let us read, starting with the first verse. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All of these men were heads of the children of Israel, and then he goes down to name them. Down in verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way into the Negev, and up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people who dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they are that they dwell in, whether in camps, that's tents, or in strongholds, that would be fortified cities, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. Now I'd like to turn over to Deuteronomy, the first chapter. If we just read this, we get the impression that Moses did this on his own. It wasn't Moses' idea. It was the people's idea. Deuteronomy 1, 19th verse. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord your God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. So he told them exactly what God expected, what they had been told. Now, this is the reason that he let the spies go into the land. Remember, the Lord has his perfect will for us, but he also has his permissive will. Many times in that permissive will, we have to learn some hard lessons. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall send out, search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and they came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. Now, if we had the time, we would go through the better part of that chapter. And then I want to look at one more portion. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Verses 7 through 9. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig bronze. So God was providing everything for them. This is what they were told off to begin with before they even left Egypt. As Robbie mentioned earlier, it took a couple of weeks if you went straight across from Egypt to the land of Canaan. It took them 2 years, really. But the Lord was preparing things. Remember, they had the law was given to them, etc. And then they wandered for another 38 years because they despised what God had said. They didn't trust what God had said. There's a saying amongst a lot of us, the Lord said it, I believe it, and that ends it. That's exactly how it should be. We were talking to a young man the other night. A little child were to ask his father or mother, is that moon made of cheese? If the parent said yes, you know that child would fight to defend that. They would. The parent said it, and they believed it. And brothers and sisters and friends, that's how we should be when it comes to the Word of God. God said it, I believe it, and that ends it. Whether I understand it or not. And then we find, too, that there were two men that were faithful to God. And of all the people, remember there was over 600,000 men, that's 20 years and up, ready for battle. After 40 years, I dare say there was a whole lot more. This time there was a minimum of that, not counting the women or the children. They died in the wilderness because they rejected what God had said. They doubted God. In verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And then in verse 8, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, or Joshua, of the tribe of Nun. Those two men were faithful. And the Lord actually took them into the land. And I don't know whether it will come up in other lessons or not. Undoubtedly, we'll miss some of it. And they were victors in the land. These were old men. But they still had the strength of young men. God gave them a strength similar to that Moses had. Remember, Moses was 120 years old and his eye wasn't dim. And he had the strength and vigor of a young man. Special strength given to them. All right. Over in verse 27 of chapter 13. Well, let's start with 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto him and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land to which thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They were already told that of God. They didn't have to go into the land to find this out. God already told them this is the way it would be. Nevertheless, how much is that in our own lives? Two words. Nevertheless or but. We do this but. Or maybe. Nevertheless, the people are strong and that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the edge of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. He took God at his word. That's the way it should have been to begin with. They'd already wasted 40 days. 40 days for nothing. God had told them what was going to be there. It was unbelief. I want to look at 1 Samuel. First Samuel, the 8th chapter. Start with verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he reported them to the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go every man to his city." The same thing. They didn't trust God. They didn't take God at his word. Who was their king? God was their king. They had the best king. And when this young man, and remember he was a giant of a man, he was head and shoulders over all the men of Israel. So undoubtedly he was around 7 feet or maybe more. He turned out to be a good warrior. But he didn't trust God. And he wouldn't obey God. And he brought havoc on the people of Israel. And of course the second one, the one that was God's choice, was the one who had the heart of the Lord. He worried, he was concerned with the sheep. Even when he was being judged, he could say, "Lord, lay not this at their door. I'm the one. Do it to me." But the Lord was judging the nation through David, because the nation itself had turned its back on God. In Numbers 23 and 9, we needn't turn to it. "God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God doesn't lie. There's no need for him to lie. Why does an individual lie anyway? Someone else has more authority. He's fearful of someone that's above him. Who's above God? None. And he's holy. He can't lie. In Romans 15 and 4, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then one like unto it is 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come." Everything that happens in the Old Testament, as well as the New for us in this time, are for our learning, for us to learn from them. These people were admonished. Colossians 2:17, "Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ." You heard the verse used a few times in the morning meeting. "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book. What does that mean? It means the whole of the book. "It is written of me to do thy will, O God." The Lord, when he took a body on him, he became that perfect servant. And he had one thing in mind, to do the will of the Father. You and I are servants. That should be our mind, to do the will of the Father. But when we do fall on our face, what are we admonished to do? Confess our sin. Keep the cord short. All of us have heard this before. A child. Remember one time, some of we older ones were children. Hard to remember. But if we did something wrong, what's the first thing we did? We dodged Mama and Daddy. We stayed away from them. But as soon as that situation was taken care of, we had no hesitancy at all coming into their presence, did we? And they put their arm around us. And we'd hug them. That's exactly how God the Father is. If we have things between Himself and us, our fellowship is broken. But we are sons and daughters of God. When we do wrong, we're to get those things right with Himself. Jeremiah. Better look this one up. If I don't get the first part, I'll be wrong. Jeremiah 17 chapter in the fifth verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. You know, that can happen to us. Now stop and consider who these people were. These were God's people. Other than those hangers-on that came along with them, and of course they were a problem to them. They brought in all kinds of things that shouldn't have been there. We hang around with those that are outside of the household of faith. They'll pull us away from God. But these were spoken to God's people. You and I are God's people. In fact, everyone that has trusted Christ as his personal Savior, we're far more blessed than these people were. We don't have to have the various altars and sacrifices. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin once, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstools, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's how God sees you and me. Even with all of our shortcomings, he sees us through his Son. And when he sees us through his Son, he sees us as perfect. Now, if we're sons and daughters of God, then we're what? Princes and princesses. Maybe some of the older ones will remember, but I know as a little boy, King George, and of course I was raised in Western Canada, at that time the sun never set on the Union Jack. That's the British flag. But you know, we expected the princesses or princes to be a notch above everybody else. But if we can look over there and see what we got today, they're pulling themselves down. There's always been that tendency down to the level of everyone else. But you and I, as sons and daughters of God, should be living in such a way that others realize that we belong to God. We're of the household of faith. Psalms 31. Verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from mine enemies and from those that persecute me. We don't have to go out and do it. We trust the Lord to do it. But we find a verse here that applies to Israel, and believe it or not, applies to us as well. Psalms 106, number 15th verse. And he gave them their desire, but sent what? Strong delusion into their life. He sent strife into their life. Let's look at it. Psalms 106. He gave them the request, but sent leanness into their soul. If there's anyone here that isn't saved, for one thing, you're not going to understand but so much of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. After you're saved, you may be a babe in Christ. You'll hear hard things, but you'll understand them. You may not take them in where you could tell somebody else, but you understand what's being saved. Said. Unsaved don't have that. But for those that are saved, leanness is sent into your soul when God has to give his less than perfect will to you. Verse 28 of chapter 13. Nevertheless, the people, or but the people, are strong that dwell in the land. They were fearful. They lost sight of who? Jehovah. Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The scripture also tells us that there is nothing impossible with God. Now remember, eventually when they did go through the Jordan, what did they do? Those waters, it was flood season. There's no way you could have crossed it. The Lord said, as soon as the foot of the priest stepped at the water or into the water, what happened? As they progressed, the water just piled up. And mind you this, that there was possibly anywhere from 1.5 to 3.5 million people that had to cross. So that wasn't a little narrow way. God had to open it wide, just like we hear in the Old Testament, with the hordes of the east, an army of 200 million. Would cross the Euphrates River. Can you imagine how long it would take to cross the Euphrates River if they crossed on bridges? They have to get there first, but can you imagine how long it would take? The first ones would be dead before the last ones got over. But this man that God has allowed to stay over there, Saddam Hussein, you know what he's done? Built a huge dam. All they have to do is cut the water off completely. From the dam down, they'll be able to walk across. God's preparing all these things. On the surface, we just think it's some little thing. But God's preparing it. Verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." They were still given an opportunity, but they would have none of it. What was the size of the Lord? Remember verse 33? "And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, who came of the giants. And in our own sight we were what? Grasshoppers." You know what they've just done? They pulled God down to their level. God was far bigger than any of these giants. In fact, it was because of God that those giants were even there. Down in the next chapter. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." And friend, they did. God had opened the way to the promised land to them. They didn't trust God. They rebelled against God. They said, this is what they want. Now, just stop in your own life. I've done this many times. Different things go wrong all day. I'd advise, don't do it. What else can happen? The Lord is just liable to show you what else can happen. And you'll wish you'd kept your mouth shut. That was the situation of these people. And God gave them exactly what they asked for, that we had died here. What the last of that verse said? "Or would God we had died in this wilderness." And that's exactly what happened, except for two. They saw only their difficulties, and they forgot God as their resource. You and I have the best resource on the face of the earth. And you know the biggest thing that will cause Satan to tremble? A saint on his knees. A saint in prayer. You have more power than all the governments of the world by themselves. Some of us have heard what Jabe Boyd Nicholson, or Jabe, just call him Jabe Nicholson, was mentioning took place in Argentina. I get tickled every time I hear it, or every time I say it. There was an older couple evidently in the hinterland of Argentina. One night, three young, well, I don't know how old they were Russian Jews, came to the door. I think they spent, 3 hours over the Word of God. Those three men trusted Christ as Savior. Well, you know, I think that's it. You're not going to see that again. The next night, four showed up. And the same thing happened. By the end of the year, over 9,000 had gone through those doors and been led to the Lord. Now, you know, we just see little things and we think, well, nothing's happening. It's happening. We may not see it. God knows it's happening. Time is about gone, but let's read verse 30 or 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it better for us to return to Egypt? Very lamentable of God's people. How many times that you and I might do the same thing if God had done something else? Our desire. But you know, when we pray, many times we ask that this person is made well, or this other one's raised up. But you should always add one thing to it. The Lord will. Now, some have heard me mention this before. I don't think I've mentioned it in public as a group. When I was in the military, there was a young man who had gone home on leave. This happened in California. It wasn't the base I was on. And he was in a rush to get back. Big accident. The doctors didn't give him any chance. They worked with him for over a year. But the mother, they were both Christian. The boy was a born-again Christian. Mother, that rest of the family, evidently. She was adamant that God wasn't going to let her son die. You know what it was, really? Selfishness. She didn't want to lose her son. She'd have been better off to let the son go to be with his father, Heavenly Father. Well, whether the doctors thought he would die or not, lo and behold, he lived. For the rest of his life, he was absolutely helpless. He couldn't do a thing for himself. The mother got her wish. In her older age, she made this statement, "If only I had asked that the Lord's will be done." She says, "Now what's going to happen when I'm gone and the boy's left?" See, we should be very careful where we ask. Whatever we ask, we might think it's right, but we better ask that the Lord's will be done and not our own. It would have been far better for these people had they sought the Lord's will. They didn't seek the Lord's will at all. When you and I, whatever we do, we should always seek the Lord's will in the matter. These are the lessons we're learning from this. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful Savior. We thank you for your wonderful love. And the very fact that we have the Bible. We hear people say that some of the things in the Bible are so hard. But our God doesn't pull any punches. He shows the truth, even as to men of God that have fallen on their face, and how they had to be rebuked, maybe even judged. But we know too that whomsoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We should be careful that we don't need these rebukes, that we don't need the chastening. And yet, when we are chastened, when we are rebuked, it shows us that we belong to himself. We belong to the household of faith. May each of us learn a lesson from what had took place with the case of the Israelites in the wilderness. Again, we think of those that have been laid aside with illness, some very grievously. Others have lost loved ones. Others will be traveling. Some may even be traveling at the present time. We ask that thou would supernatural blessing in each case, and above all, that thy will be done. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.